Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Balanced Pep Rally. Join Tom Marquis and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the high school action for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh for today's Pep Rally. Welcome to the Balanced Pep Rally. That's right, kids. We do this every single Friday. It is the Balanced Pep Rally. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Alongside me, as usual, is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, the man high school football extraordinaire. Josh, week five, halfway to the playoffs. Are we ready for some exciting high school football in Central Indiana?
I believe so. It's a bit chilly outside, but it should be an all right night for high school football.
Perfect night for football. Bring on the chill. That's what I say. Perfect night for some high school football. Well, we've got a lot of games to cover, and we're going to have Gary Snyder be calling us in here in a short bit to talk a little bit about some games across the state up in Fort Wayne, Huntington, and in Marion and Grant County area. But let's start out right here in Central Indiana. Lucas Oil's got a little action going on there tonight, does it not?
It does. Avon's playing Brownsburg, a game I was planning on being at, but I'm going to be unable to make it tonight.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, that is a bitter Hendricks County feud. And what's better than that, then it's going to be fought in the home of the Colts this week, as Brownsburg is the surprise leader all alone on top of the Hoosiers. Crossroad Conference standing 4-0, undefeated. Avon is one of the three teams that is just behind them at 3-1. So a Bulldog victory would give Brownsburg a major edge in the race. And they have already played and defeated Hamilton Southeastern. Zionsville comes up later this season. Avon ended Brownsburg's undefeated season run last year, 38-17, however. So the irony continues, Josh. So what does Avon got to do to beat Brownsburg again this year?
Avon has to run the ball really well, take care of the ball, not turn it over, win the line of scrimmage. I know those are all the cliches, but they're the cliches about football for a reason.
Well, okay, so tell us a little bit about Brownsburg football.
Well, the last 3 or 4 years, they've gotten a whole lot better. They used to go 2-8, 3-7 year in and year out, but since Coach Comer took over in 2006, Brownsburg's got much better. They've eliminated Ben Davis in the sectionals 2 out of the last 4 years. So as a Ben Davis alumni, I'd love to see Brownsburg go undefeated until the first week of the sectionals.
All right. Well, we got a lot of other games coming up as well. We've got Eastern Hatton over there in Eastern Howard. The Eastern Commons went 2-38 between 2005 and 2008. But they were patient with Coach Josh Edwards. However, that patience has paid off somewhat. Now they have one of the state's most potent offenses, Josh. They lead the team with an average of 54.75 points per game. 2 weeks ago, they hung 82 on Peru in the Mid-Indiana Conference opener. So, Josh, what do we know about these guys?
Unfortunately, I don't know too much about those guys. I know they have a really good offense, but that's up in the northern part of the state, up in Gary Snyder's territory. So it's kind of hard for me to be able to get too good of a grasp on the high school talent up there, but I do know they're a good team and they're a state title contender.
All right. Also, we've got Chittard and Broad Ripple. We're going to break down. That's another feature game that we have tonight. Tell us a little bit about the matchup between those two teams.
Well, actually, Chittard playing Cardinal Ritter, but it's at Broad Ripple High School, as either one of those two teams has a home field. Ritter plays their games in Marion, and Broad Ripple tends to play Chittard tends to play at Broad Ripple, University of Indianapolis. Ritter lost last week for their only loss of the season, 32-29, but they had 6 players suspended when they played Speedway at Lucas on Saturday. Bishop Chatard lost to Cathedral last week after being down 21-0. They rallied but fell short at 21-14.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Josh, I wonder how I got that wrong, inaccurate information about who was playing at Broad Ripple. Huh.
I don't know who.
Just you got to learn to text correctly, brother, when I'm trying to read and drive at the same time. But anyway, I'll tell you what, though, it's always a good week. It falls in the air. And I tell you what, this is the best time of year for high school football and a lot of exciting games that are going on that go on here this week. Brownsburg, like we just talked about, 4-0, them Bulldogs. I'll tell you what, Brian Scott's probably having a good time. Former guy, y'all might remember him here with the Balance. Brian Scott does play-by-play for Brownsburg High School and also Avon Orioles as well. In a bizarre twist, the road team has won 7 in a row in 12 of the past 13 games in this series. This is a technically Avon's home game, Josh. Brownsburg has less than 2 yards away from pulling up the upset in the second round in the sectional last year, losing 25-21 in a game that went down to the final play. Brownsburg, Chase, and Charles Davis are both capable of making big plays, and it was Avon 27, Brownsburg 24 last year. So what kind of things does Brownsburg have to do to keep that from happening to them again this year?
Well, they have a three-headed monster at running back, so they should be able to run the ball pretty well. And I wanted to apologize to our listeners if it sounds like I don't have a whole lot of energy. I'm a bit under the weather, but I'm doing my best to make it through this tonight.
Well, we totally understand how that goes. It's that time of year. Okay, so, Josh, what other games do we got going on?
Decatur Central and Mooresville are playing down at Mooresville later on tonight. Mooresville's 2-2, Decatur Central's 3-1. Interesting thing about Decatur Central, they're the only team in the state that I'm older than their head coach.
And where's this at?
Decatur Central High School has a 26-year-old head coach.
I did not know that. I was not aware of that. 26 years old, huh?
The youngest head coach in the state of Indiana, and he's 3-1. And the cool thing about being the youngest head coach in the state, he's in his third year, too.
Oh, wow. Well, so he knows a little something about football then, I guess. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the Wright game going on out there at Broad Ripple. Cardinal Ritter, 3-0, and Bishop Chatard, 3-1. I'm sorry, Cardinal Ritter also is 3-1, and they're playing out at Broad Ripple. Now, Chatard nearly climbed out of 3 touchdown holes against Cathedral on Saturday in a 21-14 loss. That bodes well for the Trojans, who play a difficult schedule, but may not see a more talented team than the Irish for the rest of the season. Quarterback Max Van Vellet's arm gives Chatard a weapon with its grinding game, and Chatard is a street battler, and they'll get out there and they'll hang with Ritter. And Ritter is a tough team to hang with, and obviously they hung tough with Speedway in a 32-29 loss on Saturday. So with some key players back this week from suspension, so Josh, Bishop Chatard and Cardinal Ritter. Let's talk about that game for a minute. What has to happen in that game?
Well, whoever wants the ball most effectively, whoever can come up with somewhat of a passing game is neither. Well, Ritter is known for throwing the ball. They have a decent quarterback, a sophomore, Jake Barica. But whoever can run the ball and keep the other team's offense off the field should have a pretty good chance to win that game. They're likely to both win state titles on Thanksgiving weekend down at Lucas Oil Stadium. And just to look ahead, the Balance will be covering high school football state championship weekend in its entirety.
Isn't that exciting, though, to watch a team, to watch high school football on Thanksgiving weekend? It's always exciting to watch the young players develop into what we see is to be a lot of times great college players. And obviously Ben Davis is a school that's no stranger to that. But it's also always good just to see some of these lower class When I say lower class, I don't mean like low class people. I just mean lower, different classes of schools. I wanted to make sure that I clarified that, but not necessarily that they're low class people, but they're in a different class with the high school football. Josh, so it's always good and exciting to see those games happen. Okay, we talked about Brownsburg. We talked about Avon out of Lucas Oil. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Tipton is just outside the Class 2A poll. It would be ranked if it was not for an opening 10-9 loss against Hamilton Heights. Both teams are also 2-0 atop the Hoosier Conference, tied with Lafayette Central Catholic. The Red Devils should have an edge as West Lafayette has not given up a point in conference play and have given only 12 points on the season. Sean Bush has thrown for 8 touchdowns against the interception for Westside, but Tipton's Austin Hooker has thrown for 806 yards and 10 scores. So, Josh, in Class 3A, West Lafayette 4-0. They're undefeated as well in their class at Tipton 3-1. What do we have to look at for that game?
Well, that should be an exciting game, as both teams are known for throwing the football. They're both in future conferences, you talked about. They have a combined record of 7-1. West Lafayette's a very good 4-0. They could reach Lucas Oil Stadium coming out of the north. I'm by no means projecting them to at this point. It's way too early to talk about who's going to meet in the state finals. But, Tom, I do know the Devils are going to win that game. It's the Red Devils versus the Blue Devils.
Well, anytime the Blue Devils can get beat, I'm absolutely all for that. Well, Josh, we're going to take a break. When we get back, I think Gary Snyder will be joining us before too much longer. And also, we want to talk a little bit about what's going on down there at Lucas Oil Stadium. And we also want to talk a little bit more about Ben Davis High School and some of the other local schools right here. And remember, guys, there's so many schools for us to cover, so we want to make sure that we get to all of them. So at any time, if there's a game that you want us to cover, just give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we'll certainly discuss it. And you can also at any time tweet us at T-Balance or Facebook us or send us a comment on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. We'll be right back. This is the Balance Pep Rally on Blog Talk Radio. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. All right, welcome back to the Balance Pep Rally. It is Friday night. That means we're talking high school football across Central Indiana, and it's that time of year, week 5, almost to the playoffs, when teams start to develop, and we've got some undefeated teams out there still that are still playing, obviously, down there at Lucas Oil Stadium tonight. Brownsburg and Avon go at it. Along with me is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, my partner in crime, and also Mr. Gary Snyder from the Gary Snyder Show and Huntington football, Grant County, Fort Wayne high school football extraordinaire. How you doing, Mr. Snyder?
I am, in fact, excellent.
In fact, did you get your pizza all done and taken care of?
I did. I promised my kids that we would do homemade pizza, which for us is Chef Boyardee, and I had pizza sauce all over my hand when you said, call me, and I started to panic that the pizza is in the oven.
The pizza is in the oven. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but I will take a Chef Boyardee homemade pizza anytime to Papa John's or a Domino's, anytime. So Those are great pizzas. We used to make those when I was a kid myself. Well, Josh, we've got a lot going on, and I know I want to get to Gary here because we don't want him to miss out on his pizza time there. So tell us a little bit about what's going on out there in Grant County and Allen County and the surrounding areas for high school football tonight.
Well, I'm focused in on the Huntington North Anderson game. Huntington North travels down to Anderson tonight, going into the game at 1-3, coming off just a terrible performance from last Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium against Kokomo. I thought the Vikings would show up and maybe perform a little better. They did it, and anytime you play a team like Kokomo and you're not giving your best, you get the result that happened. And, you know, I talked to Coach Gilg. I have his interview with him up on the GarySnyderShow.com. And they have 14 lettermen out with injuries, either for this game tonight or for the season. And for a high school football team, that just cannot be good. And when you look at the Anderson matchup with Huntington North, you know, this could be a tough one from here on out unless they get some of these players back for Huntington North.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that the Vikings have struggled a little bit. You mentioned out there at Lucas Oil Stadium. Do you think, and there's a game tonight, that's what made me think about it, there's a Brownsburg and Avon's playing out there tonight. Do you think that that might be too big and too big of an intimidating venue for these young kids?
You know, I don't know if it's too big and intimidating. I remember when I played at Ball State, one of the only games I actually got to travel for and dress for was when we played Indiana State at the then Hoosier Dome. And you were kind of a little bit in awe as a college student, so it might be the case. And keep in mind, that's 2 weeks in a row that they've had to travel to play a game. First down at Ball State the week before last, where they beat Logansport, and now they have to travel down the following week and play Kokomo at Lucas Oil Stadium. So 2 weeks in a row, the injuries that just mounted up. Hopefully they'll I don't know what the word, maybe get healthy a little bit tonight, at least get one in the win column. You know, Anderson is not the powerhouse that they used to be, at least in basketball. So, and then looking forward to a big game next week as Marion comes north to Huntington and the clash of Marion and Huntington, and that should be a good one.
Oh, that's going to be a fantastic game. Josh, do you have anything for Gary regarding his coverage there?
I do have a question for you, Gary. It's not about Huntington North, though. I hope that's all right. So I was reading an article today about South Bend, Washington, how they purposely kept throwing the ball, and they were up big. I'm sure you know the story I'm talking about. To get this kid a National High School single-game receiving record of 437 yards, I want somebody who's covered high school football for a long time, I want your perspective. Should that be tolerated, or should the state do something to let that known that that's not good, acceptable behavior?
I don't know if the state should get involved. I always hate when the state gets involved in anything. You know, there's two ways to look at this. If you don't want to get that beat that bad, and you don't want those kind of yards put up against you, then stop them. But then again, you know, it's high school football. And whenever you see these cheap, you see it in the NBA, not say all the time, but occasionally where, you know, a team will leave a person alone and out the other end just to get his triple-double. I think it taints the record a little bit. And, you know, while there's probably will not be an asterisk by that record, people will know that, you know, maybe it wasn't begotten in the best of ways.
Gary, talking a little bit about game over there in Kokomo over last weekend, and I don't know if you're familiar with Eastern quarterback John Horner, who was ejected from the game. You don't see that too often in high school football. I don't know if you know all the details about it, but I know he was ejected, and obviously he's got to sit out, and they're 4-0. How familiar are you with Eastern, and how much of an effect do you think this will have on them this week?
You know, from what I understand, I don't know the specifics. I know that he's a very good quarterback on a very good Eastern team. And, you know, if you get ejected, you should at a minimum have to sit out the next game. How will it affect them? I don't know who their opponent is tonight. I know they play in the same conference as Taylor and Western and Mechanicwah. You know, I went to Taylor. I played at Taylor up until my sophomore year before I became a hot dog. And Eastern was always one of those. You like that? I am a fighting hot dog.
You're a fighting wiener. It's like an explosion of meat in your mouth.
You know, I thought that disappeared forever.
It probably should, and we probably shouldn't be bringing it up on a high school football night. But hey, what do you do?
You know, you know the rules. You know, if you do something to get ejected, you know you're going to sit the next game. I really don't feel sorry for the kid. My guess is Eastern is good enough probably to overcome this as long as they're not playing a very strong team tonight. There's not a lot of strong teams except for maybe Western, maybe Hamilton. Southeastern, I think, or Hamilton Heights is in that division or in that conference. So unless they're playing someone real strong, I think they'll be just fine. Let the quarterback sit out, get his punishment, and hopefully ran some laps from his coach and get back in next week.
Josh, what are your thoughts on that game real quickly?
I think they'll be all right, but I do believe Indiana High School Athletic Association policy says if you're ejected for language or fighting, you will sit out the rest of that game and the next two, at minimum of the next two.
Okay. Well, all I know is that he's sitting out tonight, and I just know that they're 4-0, and I was just curious on how that's going to affect them. So hopefully it won't affect them too much. Josh, obviously Ben Davis, 3-1, is out at Terre Haute North. Terre Haute North is really struggling this year, and I don't think Ben Davis is going to have much of a problem with them. I mean, they got thumped last week by Center Grove. They got schooled 35-7. I don't look for it to be any better. It might even be about the same score tonight, Ben Davis and Terre Haute North. So you guys have any thoughts on that game?
Well, I was at the Ben Davis Warren Central game last week, and if Warren Central's the number one team in the state, Ben Davis is 1A. Yes, I know a lot of people are higher on Carmel. Carmel looks really good. They haven't really played anybody yet. They played a Maryville team that's supposed to be pretty good. From what I've seen this year, they're not very good. Gary might have a better idea than I do. But Warren Central, the number one team in the state, knew they were in an absolute dogfight last week, and they didn't win that game as much as they survived it. I'm looking for Ben Davis to go about 56-0 over Terre Haute North.
Gary, do you have any comments on that game?
No, I really don't know anything south of Kokomo.
Okay. You keep it pretty regional there, huh?
I do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the Fort Wayne games that are coming up. Obviously, we talked a little bit about one of the Fort Wayne games. What's going on up there in Allen County tonight?
You know, I've been so focused this week on my show, and I really haven't paid a lot of attention to you know, anything other than really the Huntington North Anderson game tonight.
Capito's up at Fort Wayne Bishop Dwinger tonight. They played in the 4A state championship game last year. I believe it was Cathedral 28, Dwinger 14, something like that, down at Lucas last year. They're probably going to meet in the state championship game this week. My question is, Gary, have you ever been over to Dwinger High School? And if you have, don't you agree it's one of the nicer ones in the state?
It is nice. And, you know, Dwinger, there's two Catholic schools in Fort Wayne, Dwinger and Lures. Lures seems to get all the attention because they're the ones winning all the state championships. Dwinger took it on the chin, I think, last week, the week before, to Fort Wayne North. But, yeah, I was just a quick story. I'm traveling down 69 heading up to Fort Wayne, and this big semi goes by me, and probably one of the nicest semis I've ever seen. And it was the Dwinger band truck, all decked out and had, you know, the graphics on the side. And I'm like, wow, what kind of band is this? Where are the groupies?
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, you know, one of the things that I wanted to point out, they don't get a lot of attention, and I kind of like to occasionally just point out a school and give them just a little bit of attention that they don't get a lot of times. And I'm always excited to see kids that can get out there and play with some sort of type of disability. And Indiana Deaf plays at Heritage Christian, and you know they had a tough loss last week, you know, 22-20 loss to Guerin. That's one of those smaller schools, but they do play Heritage Christian tonight, which is obviously a dominating force when it comes to high school football. But it's always good to see those guys go out, and I think they'll probably have a hard time beating Heritage Christian. But what do you guys think about these special? I don't want to call them special needs, but, you know, people or situations like that that are able to get out there and play a regular high school football team. My hat's off to them. I applaud them. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, me too. Anytime you see that, it's great. The my older two daughters went to Guerin Catholic High School right when it opened, when we still lived down in the Carmel area. So I was familiar with Guerin. It's been a few years. But anytime you can see anything like this school for the deaf perform at a level in which they are, you really have to, you know, clap your hands and give those kids the attention they deserve for, you know, not only getting out there and performing, but doing it with a disability that not most of us can understand.
Oh, and I couldn't agree more. It's the Battle of the Centrals, guys. North Central at Warren Central. Warren Central, obviously a dominating force, if not the number one school in the state. They take on North Central, who has had back-to-back losses after a really good start. So I really think this is going to make it three in a row, Josh. Don't you think Warren Central will probably stick it to North Central there?
I do think Warren Central is sick of the North Central. And, again, as a Ben Davis alumni, I've kind of like Warren North Central because I coached by a former Ben Davis assistant, Ben Davis alumni. I wish him the best of luck getting it turned around at North Central High School. But there's only maybe two or three teams in the state, at least in the southern half of the state, we're going to use Kokomo as the southern half, that could beat Warren Central. And that would be Carmel, Ben Davis, and possibly Center Grove if they could play the perfect football game. I don't know, Gary, do you know if there's any 5A teams up north that might be able to challenge Warren, or do they basically have a wide-open shot at the title?
Maybe if Kokomo plays a good game. Penn is always tough, and Snyder seems to be picking it up a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, over in the 2A, we want to make sure that we mention these teams that are really leading the pack in their particular divisions. Obviously, Shenandoah and LaPel are together and tonight, and Shenandoah is 4-0, and Shenandoah is certainly a better team, one of the better 2A teams in the state, and they go up against LaPel. Do you guys have any thoughts on that game tonight?
That should be an interesting game with Bulldogs and Shenandoah. That should be a fascinating 2A game. Probably one of the better 2A games you're going to see in the state this week, but at the end of the day, it is just 2A football.
Just 2A football.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. Like I said, if it's south at Kokomo with maybe an exception or two, we'll just put it this way. If it's south and west of Kokomo, I probably don't have a clue.
Well, Greentown, Eastern Greentown and Hamilton Heights are both 4-0. They go at it tonight, so hopefully they can both remain undefeated as we go pretty much halfway into the season. Guys, well, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us tonight on the Balance Pep Rally. Get out there to your local high school football team and cheer them on. Anybody got any last-minute thoughts?
No, I just wanted to give a heads up that next week I'm going to be going to check out mine and Gary's old stomping grounds. I'm going to be going up to Frankfort High School for a visit.
Well, let me ask you this, Josh, because you are, I think, my brother's age, so you may know him, Kyle Ranky.
I do actually know him.
Okay, that is my brother, and he is currently stationed in the Army in Anchorage, Alaska.
Is he doing
that means we got to go, right?
Yeah, the Mambo means we got a Mambo on out of here. All right, guys, we'll see you on Monday for the Balance Wrap-Up, and make sure you check out the Gary Snyder Show at GarySnyderL.com.